The long-distance connection was good, but as Sally Bacon held the phone to her ear in her Phoenix kitchen, she couldn't make sense of what she was hearing. 30 days earlier, she'd sent her 16-year-old son Aaron to a Utah-based wilderness school called North Star Expeditions, and now some woman from North Star was telling her, "Aaron is down. We can't get a pulse." "What does that mean, you can't get a pulse?" Sally inquired, uncomprehending. "Aaron's been airlifted to the hospital in Page, Arizona," replied the disembodied female voice. "Call your husband. He's been given the hospital phone number." Sally frantically called her spouse, Bob Bacon, at his office. Sounding numb, he repeated what he knew. Aaron had apparently collapsed in the desert. It was a freak accident. There was nothing anyone could do. Their son was dead. On March 1, 1994, the Bacons had enrolled Aaron in a 63-day North Star course conducted in the sandstone badlands of southern Utah, near the small town of Escalante. He was a funny, articulate kid who wrote prize-winning poetry and excelled academically. But early in his sophomore year at Phoenix's Central High School, Aaron started smoking marijuana every day and ditching classes. His grades plummeted. Bob and Sally repeatedly caught him lying to them. He grew increasingly sullen and succumbed to frequent crying jags. That January, Aaron, a tall, skinny youth with shoulder-length hair, had been jumped by a gang of Crips in the school parking lot. Although he vehemently denied being a gangbanger, witnesses reported that the Crips called him Rabbit, an apparent gang moniker, and acted as if they knew Aaron well. Sally, an artist and part-time real estate agent, and Bob, an eminent Phoenix architect, worried that he had been buying weed from the Crips, or maybe even selling it to them. "That really scared us," says Sally. Aaron seemed to be caught in a big downhill spiral. The Bacons decided the time had come to take serious measures. 2 years previously, the Bacons had sent Aaron's older brother Jared to Hazelden, the renowned Minnesota clinic, to be treated for drug addiction. Despite spending 30 days there, at a cost of $20,000, within 2 weeks of returning home, he started using again. "We didn't think a residential facility like that was best for Aaron," says Sally. "His problems didn't seem as severe as Jared's. We wanted to try something else first." From a friend of a friend, Sally had heard about a company called North Star that was reportedly quite successful at turning around troubled adolescents. North Star's program was based on an increasingly popular regimen known as wilderness therapy, a blend of intensive counseling, tough love, and Spartan hikes through the desert. It sounded to Sally like a cross between the Betty Ford Center and Outward Bound. "Students at North Star Expeditions learn that Mother Nature does not make exceptions," explained the brochure she received in the mail. "They learn responsibility, self-discipline, and motivation." Tuition for the two-month program was $13,900, plus another $775 if the Bacons wished to have Aaron escorted to Escalante by North Star personnel, which the company strongly recommended. Bob's design and consulting business, once prosperous, had lately been teetering on the brink of insolvency, and the Bacons no longer had that kind of cash at their disposal. But after talking to the owners of North Star and several parents whose kids had been helped by the program, says Sally, "we were given a lot of hope that North Star was going to build Aaron's self-esteem. I knew it would be rigorous, but I pictured him out there with God and nature, hiking all day, discussing his issues with therapists around the campfire at night. I thought it would be perfect for him." Still, the Bacons had concerns, which they expressed during a long meeting at a Phoenix hotel with Lance and Barbara Jagger, two of North Star's owners. "I was worried because Aaron was very, very thin," says Sally. "But Barbara assured me, oh, we would never let any of our students lose weight." Bob warned the Jaggers that Aaron didn't respond favorably to intimidation. "Don't worry," insisted Lance, a 280-pound former military policeman with an imposing mien and a neck like a fire hydrant. "I have a special gift for working with kids. They really open up to me." Convinced, Sally and Bob took out a second mortgage to pay for the course, and without telling Aaron, signed him up. At 6 a.m. on March 1st, Aaron awoke to the sound of the family's three Shar-Pei's growling outside his bedroom door. A moment later, his father walked in with Lance Jagger and Jagger's brother-in-law, Don Burkhart. Taking Aaron's arm in his meaty grip, Jagger announced, "You're coming with me. If I detect any resistance, I'll assume you were trying to get away and I'll take the appropriate action. Do I make myself clear?" As Aaron was led out of the house barefoot, Sally attempted to hug her terrified son, but Jagger wouldn't release the boy's arms. Wanting to appear resolute, trying not to cry, she took his face in her hands and declared, "I love you. I don't want you to be afraid. This is what's best." Then Jagger hustled the boy outside, drove to the local airport, and flew Aaron to Escalante in a single-engine Cessna.